Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio, Earth Wisdom Circles. And today I'm going to be doing a solo show. And it seems really appropriate since we have gone through the time of our elections here in the United States, and a lot of change has happened and a lot of things are going to be happening with some unrest and some concern and some new beginnings and many different things. So today I'm going to be talking about choosing wisely and learning how to discover the difference between simply reacting and responding. So responding and is a place where we really need to begin to draw our attention and to really witness what it means as a human being to have a choice. We have an opportunity to recognize that we all have unexamined emotions. As human beings, living in a world that is driven by culture, that is driven by ethnicity, driven by religion, driven by political points of view, we don't often recognize how often we react rather than respond. But there is a conscious and physical buildup in our physical body when we are reacting versus responding. And as a healer and as someone who works with people energetically, works with people as an intuitive, and certainly as a healer, I see time and time again that the single most important thing for people to be aware of when they are trying to heal, whether that is heal emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, which is all one in truth, is we have to recognize how our body is feeling. What is it that is driving our response to something? What is driving our reaction to something? And we often have been taught to go in favor of our thinking rather than in favor of what we feel. But in truth, how we feel viscerally, literally within our body, within our emotions, within our physical structure, what we feel is different than what we believe and what we think. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background. Whenever I'm working with individuals and I ask them what they feel, they will often tell me what they think. Because inherently, as human beings, we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be incorrect. So rather than expressing what we actually feel, many people will respond in or react and give a verbal response based on what they're thinking or what is their history of how they believe something to be. That isn't necessarily accurate. So what I ask people to do is to be willing to close their eyes and just feel what your body is telling you. This is very important and powerful information that is immediate. It is visceral, which means it is responding. Your body is responding to information rather than dogma, rather than a prescribed way of believing something to be. Often people are afraid that they won't have the right answer, so they will tell you what they think rather than what they feel. So in this regard, I often will pause a moment and say, thank you for telling me what you think. But what I want you to know is that your body is telling you something, and that signal will be felt within your body. That is what I'm asking people to begin to reflect upon and notice what they actually feel. So when we all have unexamined emotions, we will recognize, if we choose to, that we will have a tendency to react, to be almost forceful in what we are saying, forceful in what we are defending, forceful in what we say we believe. Rather, it's more important to pause and give yourself the ability to respond. So re, as the prefix of both words, respond and react, means to do again, to remember, to respond, to react. So when we give ourselves the opportunity to pause before we elicit a communication, it is very powerful if we just give ourselves the moment to close our eyes or to pause for a moment, to know that we can have a different point of view. We're in a time right now where we are being given the opportunity to examine old stories. And many old stories we call history. History is, if you look at the word, his story. Now, this is not meant to degrade men, but to understand that his story is particularly driven by a patriarchal point of view. So those who have been historically in positions of leaderships, whether that leadership is in some form of governance, some form of hierarchy, some form of patriarchy, has principally been how we have been geared or groomed to react to the world around us. And what has so often happened, it has taken away from us our ability to have our own conscious thought. So our old story, and many old stories, are beginning to be peeled away. We have been taught to believe something that we learn in school, believe something that we learn in books, and take that literally as quote-unquote gospel. And when we use that term, take something as gospel, meaning that it is an absolute truth. But what we need to begin to do is to look at our old stories are based on prescribed ways that people were entrained to learn, that they were entrained to be in positions of a lower level of education and a lower level of knowledge that inherently was not good for humanity's overall growth. It might have been good for a select few's growth, but always with the acknowledgement that there was a level of slavery of many kinds. Slavery is that we think of as often a racial slavery, but there's many levels of slavery. There is servitude. There is the quote-unquote flock that, in religious terms, that follows the lead of someone who stands above them and quote-unquote preaches. So when someone preaches, they are often using very inflamed rhetoric. They may be using a great deal of volume when they speak and a great deal of drama when they speak, knowing full well that what that will do with those who are sitting below them, literally and figuratively, will elicit a physical response chemically in the body that will put someone in a position of fight or flight. So when you hear loud noises, when you hear someone being very loud in their rhetoric, it and we're expected to sit quietly, it puts us in a fight or flight mode chemically in our body. And consciously, we think we must sit there, where our body mind is saying to us, something is wrong. So with this entrainment, we have been trained to negate what our body is saying and override it with whatever rhetoric is most dominant. This is the place that we are right now. We're beginning to recognize that as human beings, we have this incredible gift called choice. And to choose differently than what we have done in the past doesn't make us all suddenly wrong. What it means is we are learning. We are teaching. We are looking at the totality of experience. We're looking at the totality of evidence before us. We are looking at the totality of what life is presenting to us time and time again, and we get to choose differently. If we look back historically in our known history, in our recorded history, especially since the advent of kingdoms and serfdom and feudal lordship, we see that there has always been the few repressing or oppressing the many. And over time, when this gets to be so great, there will be a revolt. There will be carnage. There will be someone that says, no, this is not the way life is meant to be. And now, instead of there being constant battles and constant skirmishes and constant threats of violence, we are now in a time where we really are meant to understand we can respond. We can hold back. We can look and examine different things. What is really being presented to me here? What is really open to me now? What is a way that we can begin to look at things and make something workable, not just repeatable? So many things have been repeated time and time and time again. But if there is no open disclosure about what is happening, then we have an opportunity to examine what do we actually believe and why do we choose to believe. So in this time of the election and post-election, we are going to see those who want to dig in and they want to fight and they want to create that platform where they're going to be screaming and carrying on and creating challenges that are unnecessary and really are not workable. As responsible human beings, ability to respond, again, that re prefix, meaning choose again, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, until you have an opportunity to make it right, to make it workable. And think of the fact that right does not always mean correct. Right means it's workable now. And later, 2 days later, situations may change and we can respond again. We can respond. We can take the time to review, to relook, to reexamine, to re-witness. Is this workable? Is this bringing forth opportunities for all humans to have the best possible life? So what we need to begin to look at in our changing world is the fact that we are all responsible for the reaction that we have chosen historically in our lives that have kept us in a place of disempowerment. We are one species on this beautiful planet called Mother Earth. We all have the opportunities to re-examine that which we have been taught to believe. I can speak from my own point of view. As a kid growing up in a very large family, number 7 of 9 originally, I was very blessed, honestly, very blessed to be in a household where we were taught to reflect. We were taught to re-examine things. Our brilliant mom had a thing that she would do, which was to bring together all of the kids in the family. And if our dad was around, he would be included. He had a big job, so he wasn't always there. And she was very democratic. She would ask us to come to a family meeting. And we would have to be prepared for any problems that we had experienced in the past month or however often since the last convening of the family meeting. And we would be asked to review and reflect upon any problems that we had, our personal selves or with our siblings. But we couldn't just come to the table to complain. We had to reflect. We had to examine what was the problem and what could be a different way of doing it. And we were asked to be reflective. We were asked to have a different response. It's so easy to react to something. And then we were given the opportunity to voice our opinion about what had happened and to voice our opinion about a solution to whatever we were experiencing. This was unwittingly, as a child, I did not realize that what our mother was doing was helping us to understand that we always have a choice. We always have a choice. Regardless of where you are, what, in my case, being the 7th of 9, I couldn't alter or change that hierarchy of my older siblings and my younger siblings. I was born where I was born, in the number within our family. And so I had responsibilities and abilities to respond based on the appropriateness of my capabilities as a kid, my capabilities and understanding concepts and understanding consequences. So the beauty of what this did was helped us to see that we always had choice. And then even though our mom was in charge, it was never punitive. In fact, if we did get upset in the conversation, she would ask us to push ourselves back from the table. We weren't dismissed from the room. We were moved back from the table. We were given the opportunity to reframe ourselves, to look at what we were doing, look at what we were saying, how we were reacting, and then choose again, to respond, to have an acknowledgement in a different way. And so I think that what we have an opportunity to do for ourselves, each and every human, if we think of ourselves as children, regardless of our age, there are many grown adults that have never had the opportunity to recognize that they have a choice. And so they respond angrily. They respond with words that they shouldn't say. They have limited their ability to do anything but reflexively respond, to react to something rather than respond. And as a consequence, we see people in physical situations, whether that is in untenable relationships, in work situations where there is a great deal of distress and duress, and recognizing that we each have the opportunity to make a different choice. We can choose in any situation how we want to be in the moment. Do we want to be angry, or we want to be silent? Do we want to look at what's happening, or do we want to look at our old history, our old story? Everything in this moment right now is giving us the opportunity to see that old paradigms, old ways of being that are not workable, need to be examined, need to be reviewed, need to be reconsidered, so that we can begin to renew who we choose to be. Every day, it seems, we're hearing of death, we're hearing of challenges. This has always happened every day in humanity's lives. There is always going to be illness. There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be interruptions in our personal existence. But what we need to begin to do is recognize, what can we do differently? This is where choice is paramount. Choice is absolutely the greatest gift that we will ever have. As we begin to move forward, and we see that there is going to be a transition of leadership, recognize the most important transition of leadership must be within yourself. Are you going to be one who is going to let old wounds forever be what you see first in your life? Or are we going to be giving ourselves the opportunity to let an old wound become a source of great wisdom? When we see anything that has happened to ourselves that has diminished us in any way, we can be certain that it has happened not only to ourselves. It is likely that anyone who has had prejudicial language thrown at them, prejudicial work situations, all of these things are in the midst of change. We have an opportunity to discover, how do we want to change them? How do we want to respond respectfully, but and with dignity and with honor and with awareness that things do not need to stay the same if they're not workable? Many people look every day at symbols without ever recognizing what a symbol actually means. For instance, the crest of the President of the United States, we see an eagle. An eagle is one, a very powerful being, whose head is white, which is the symbol of wisdom, who is an enormous bird that has the capacity to fly and can soar great distances high above and use that keen vision to look at the totality of something. And this bird has the ability to hone in on one thing and go directly to that one thing that it's honing in on. In the talons of this beautiful bird in the symbol, it is holding arrows. Arrows are a symbol in the indigenous world of a law. A law is not a rule. A law is, and the arrow is a symbol of something workable. A law was never enacted unless it was workable. If upon review they recognized that things were not workable, that arrow would be broken. And the symbol of that would be we will not retrace these steps of that which is not workable. In other words, we will not do this again. We will find another way. We will strike another arrow. And the arrow points steadily in one direction. That's what we need to begin to do. We need to recognize that our lives are so precious. Our lives are very short. And what we have an opportunity to do now is to be responsible human beings, not merely reactive human beings. To begin to choose differently everything about our lives. First of all, how we think, what our emotions are telling us, what our body is telling us, what we are witnessing firsthand. Is this workable? Is this sustainable? Is this good? Choose differently. Respond respectfully. And all that we need to do in our world will begin to become evident. What is workable will be evident. What is unworkable will be evident. And when we have full disclosure of all the things that have been hidden from us, we will know how we have been led, and then we will know how to actually lead. So please choose wisely. Know the difference between reacting and responding so that every day of your life, every moment of your life, you can see the beauty that life is offering you and every other human on the planet. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. My dear friends, choose wisely.